Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this word that we're fixing to open. And now we pray again, it's been taught on these premises, that it would be taught again and preached in a way that hearts could be moved. Dear Father, honor yourself. Honor the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. And somehow or another, may someone come to know Jesus as Savior today. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to be turning with me to Romans chapter 5. Well, this morning I want to give you an introduction for a read. This will be a blessing. I love to preach messages like this because the Lord gave me this early in the morning. And it helps me understand some things that I have to face. Though I know the reality of them, I don't know what's beyond. And to give you an introduction over in John chapter 3. A man by the name of Nicodemus went to see Jesus one night and asked him some questions about who, listened to him teach and asked some questions. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked the question, well, how can I go back to my mother's womb, be born the second time? That's what he's talking about. It's interesting that God didn't rebuke him for saying that, but he said, except a man be born again. Verily saying, you except a man be born again, he cannot enter into. He said, born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now the interesting thing about that is that God has, through his word many times, gave us what is called parables. A little story along a spiritual truth so you can understand what that truth is about. There's so much in this life that God is explaining to us about the life hereafter that we can't grasp too great unless God gives us something this life to identify with. He talks about a seed being planted in the ground. He talks about a corn of wheat, a kernel of corn that comes up and brings forth. He talks in the resurrection. He talks about a lot of things when it comes to a child. We just enter into the kingdom like a little child. In other words, he's given us something in this life so we can identify with and then suddenly go beyond this life through faith beyond the veil into another sphere to grasp something that's taken place. One morning I was pondering this early and the thought came to my mind, man, what amazing thing. Just about everything that's spiritual that we look at somehow or another, there's something physical we can identify with that will open up an entirely new field looking at what God is doing for us. Now, I preached a lot of funerals in the last 49 years of my ministry. I know death is something that seems unreal. And yet, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. The fact that everybody dies is a sign that everybody's a sinner. You can't get away from that. Somebody said, well, not me. Oh, well, when you don't die, then I'll believe you. Amen. But what I want you to see this morning is how God gives us insight about the ability to analyze things in this life that we can see things beyond this life that puzzles us. Now, I know this. I read a lot about death. I preach a lot of funerals. I preach a lot of message about death and give encouraging words about death and preach about the future. But when you and I come to the wall of death, the only thing we have is words from God. And we have to believe them by faith, but there's a lot we don't know about what happens when we die. Now, I can give you the chemical analysis, what happens to the body. But there's still a fear about it. We can show, like we're brave sometimes when we think about we're going to die and say, well, praise the Lord, I'm just ready to go. Well, I am too. I'm not afraid to die itself, but I don't like that process before. And when you go through the process before, there's a fear that's there. I don't care who you are. God will give us a peace, but there's a fear that's there because in all that God has said, we have to believe Him by faith. And let's face it, our faith is not that strong sometimes. And we come to the wall and there we are wondering what's going to take place the other side. Well, this morning I want to speak to you on dealing with death. And I believe the Lord will bless our hearts together. And I see something that what Jesus allowed John 3 with Nicodemus. The only thing Nicodemus could, he's talking about being born again, being born from above. Nicodemus didn't know nothing about any birth except the physical birth, and didn't know a whole lot about that except the fact he knew who he came from. We know more about physical birth now than he did. We have more education today about than he did. We can tell you exactly the ingredients, everything about what's going to happen, where they're at. We can tell you, in his day, he couldn't tell you to be a boy or girl unless God showed him. Nowadays, you can find out beforehand. I'm saying to you, we learn a lot about physical birth today that Nicodemus didn't know. When he heard about being born again, I think he could think about being born back in the mother's womb. And Jesus didn't rebuke him for that. He just said, hey, except a man be born of water and spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. And he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It's important to analyze that, to understand physical birth. He gave something that he could identify with to understand spiritual birth. Dealing with death, I'm going to do the same thing. And God bless our heart this morning together. Looking at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. Now, the wherefore relates kind of back to Romans 3:19. Goes back over there when he talks about, we've all sinned and come short of God, down in verse 23 and other verses. And it's kind of regarding the continuation of the university of sin. And he's thrown in a kind of parenthetical phrase here about justification and the results of justification. But he comes back to it in verse 12 and reminds us again that by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men. And that means women too. Why? Because he says, for they all have sinned. Hebrews 9:27, know by heart. According to the man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. Dealing with death. I read an amusing little thing this past week. Said there was a frog down in Frog Pond, and he got very depressed. And he said he called the Frog Psychic Hotline. And he called the Frog Psychic Hotline, and he said, I'm very depressed. Can you give me any good news? And this other Dr. Frog said, yes, sir, I can. He said, I see to you that you're going to meet a beautiful young lady who wants to know all about you soon. And he said, what? He just perked right up. Croaked, I guess, like frogs do. So you said, what? He said, you're going to meet a beautiful young lady that wants to know all about you. He says, when? And the psychic said, next week, in the biology class in your school, in the schoolhouse. Amen. If you took biology, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't, you're lost. Amen. I heard a pastor say not too long ago, and you might have heard this too. He said, and I know that in the rapture, my church is going to go first. And another pastor asked him, he said, why do you say that? He said, the Bible says those who are dead in Christ are going to rise first. So I want to see you lively this morning, so I won't have to say that. But dealing with death. You know, death is a very real part of everyone's experience in this life. The university of death proves the university of sin. People, the world looking today, why we're dying, trying our best to extend life. But listen, long as sin's here, there's going to be death. That's a decree of God. We all will face the pain and the anguish of death unless the rapture takes place. How do you answer a grandfather when he asks about his 2-year-old son that's died? Pastor, was my grandson's death an accident or God's will? Now, it's very easy for us to say, because we want to sound religious, well, it's got to be God's will. I'll tell you, I don't care how strong you are at the very moment you have a dear child or grandchild to die at 2 or 3 years old, God's will don't mean a whole lot right then while you're crying and weeping. Now, it will later, because you realize it's in God's will. But there's things happening in this life that stuns us so bad. I'll tell you, we're thinking about what we're looking at rather than what is happening in the arena of God. And God understands that, and he comes to our rescue because he's going to give us a peace that only he knows how to give us. How do you answer such a question and be sure it's a correct answer? Now, I know this. I can say that I know that God's will, God has a revealed will in the Scriptures, and God has a concealed will in the Scriptures. I know this. God's revealed will is plainly stated in his Word so we can walk with him in obedience. And we see even that in the Great Commission in Matthew when he talks about preaching the gospel and then baptizing those. In verse 30, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Sometimes we get to thinking that, hey, the Great Commission is just winning people to the Lord. No, the Great Commission is winning them, baptizing them, then teaching them. There's a cycle there. There's three things involved. Sometimes you hear somebody say, well, we had a soul winning thing last week. We won 35 to the Lord. Well, how many did you baptize? Well, we baptized three. Well, baptized three. Well, what happened to the other 32? And I say, well, how many? They say, well, how many did you win? So we worked hard this past week, but we didn't win nobody to the Lord this week. We did a couple weeks ago or so. And they say, well, our three is better than your nothing, isn't it? And I say, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hey, thank God. But let me ask you, of those three, how many did you teach? Because the cycle and soul winning is not only winning them, but baptizing them and teaching them. Ladies and gentlemen, William and A's today, the first thought is hard to win them. It's not because of any hard man's heart's still sinful and hard. But when you win them, it's hard to get them to be baptized. And then even get some baptized, it's hard to get them where you can teach them. There's something going on today that Satan has belittled the gospel to something to get us hung up on one. By these three phases of the gospel, according to what Jesus said, win them to the Lord, baptize them, then teach them. And so I know there is that revealed will of God that God wants us to understand from the scriptures, then turn that we can walk with Him. But God has a concealed will, and that's where we find out what God is doing in events as they unfold in our lives. During that process, we have to pray simply, if it be thy will, Lord, I submit to your will. I don't understand what's going on right now, Lord. I just have to submit to your will. I submit to the concealed will of God, knowing one day you're going to show me exactly what took place. You're going to reveal to me exactly what took place. No one but God knows when each one of us will die. But I assure you, and I assure myself this morning, that when death occurs, it will be according to God's sovereign will and purpose within His time frame. There's nothing that can take place in this life, nothing can take place in this life, in God's universe, without being first filtered through God's divine will. He's still in control. I don't care what this world says. Now, I want to give you four quick things about dealing with God. And I want to lead up from the low as we start where we're at and approach to the high level. The first thing I want you to notice is this. We all have a great urgent need. All of humanity has a great urgent need. It is a fact that death's appointment has been passed upon all men. Romans 5:12 tells us that. And we know in Romans also... In 9, he tells us that. As by one man here, he says, sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all that all have sinned. Death comes at any time, any place, anywhere, by design, by disease, and by disaster. You may not believe another thing that I say, but unless the rapture takes place, you're facing death. I'm facing death. Well, I don't like to hear talk about that. Why not? It's the most important thing that you find your life involved in this life. Therefore, it should be an important subject for us to learn about and see what God has to say about and submit to His will. Death is a curse. It's inevitable. You cannot escape it. Death is separation, separating from God outside of Jesus Christ. It separates from a loved one, from eternal life from God outside of Jesus Christ. Death stops opportunities. Death stops advancement. Death literally stops fellowship in this life. The Bible teaches us we have three stages of death in life. The first stage took place in the book of Genesis. We've heard that many times from this pulpit. That's when spiritual death came in. Separation from God. That is simply that you were cut off from God. Adam was at that time. And then the spiritual death that came to cut off from God set in motion what is known physical death. And physical death is the spirit and soul cut off from the body. Now, as physical death came in, God set in motion the life process at that time. He said it a little less than 1,000 years when man was cut off from God. And then a little bit later, it began to decrease down, and it was less than 500. Then a few years went by and went down to 200-300. And then we know to our particular day, it went around 70. He reset it about 70, though in the last century, the average life was down about 50. But now he's come back up 70-80 according to Psalms, and according to what God has said, 70 by reason 80. If a man lives to be longer than that, then he's been blessed of that, but the average man will live according to biblical principles. Now, in our particular day, we've been blessed today. Modern science and modern medicine has helped some to live a little longer than that. Death is a punishment, but not for Christians. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8, over chapter 2, in verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And yet, because of these bodies have been contaminated with sin, they're going back to the dust, and you and I are going to arrive in heaven one day, and some of us very soon. Death is not a punishment for the Christian. And while God has saved us from the penalty of sin, according to Romans 6:23, all sin comes short of the glory of God, He is saving us now from the power of sin, according to Romans chapter 6 also, and one day He's going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. And that's what He tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But it'll not come until that day comes that we stand before the final judgment seat of Christ. Death is our last enemy for the child of God. The last enemy. God tells us the sting of death has been removed. We fear it, but there's no sting for the child of God. And there's victory that's found in Christ Jesus. Now, while we're here, God uses death to help us complete our sanctification. Sanctification is setting us apart. I'll tell you this from myself to you. If we knew the doctor said we're going to die in the next 2 months, our lives will change differently. We're going to change when you leave here today. When you have death staring there, and you say it's staring all the time, but we most in here don't have any reason to think you're going to die in the next few minutes, so we may have a heart attack now. But I'm telling you that if the doctor said you only got 2 months to live, it will change your life. Sanctification, you'll find yourself changing in ways that you never would change otherwise. Death can cause a sanctification in our lives as far as changes are concerned. Eternal death is the soul and spirit cut off for God for eternity. Christ is the only one that can give and sustain life. First John 5:12, He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Here it is life that we one day will be free as we think about this life. In that life, one day we'll be free from sin and sickness and sorrow and trouble. Revelation 21:4. And only those who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior for the payment of sin will enjoy His presence when you leave this life through the exits of death. So we all have a great urgent need. Number two, I'm glad in the face of that need that we have the report from God's Word that Jesus met this great need for us. I'm going to tell you, that's a wonderful thought. Folks, I'd hate to have to face death and couldn't do nothing about it myself as where my destiny would be. I'll tell you this, but Jesus Christ met that need for you and I. In John 10:10, He talks about giving abundant life. In 1 John 5:12 again, He talks about he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through verse 18, we see Jesus and some of His people, disciples and others, going into a city called Nain. Coming out of that city is a young lady who is a widow whose son has died. He's on a bier, a type of carrying of him to the grave. One is going into the city, the other group is going out of the city. As you come into the city, one is happy, laughing, thanking God Almighty that Jesus the Savior is here, following Him, having the joy, everything been met, and they go into the city, they're very happy. The possession that comes out of the city is following a casket with mourners crying the sounds of death. One possession is to the place of eternal life. The other is to death. And Jesus sees the woman as you read the story, and he knows her need. He responds to her at that time. Amazing me how I can't explain it to you. I was telling my wife yesterday, Friday at the hospital. I was sitting with the family there, and suddenly this young girl came by, and she was right by herself. She was just weeping. And when she came by, I just stopped and quick and turned, but she had gone out the door into the ladies' bathroom. So I sat back down, was talking, and she came back in. And I know the Lord said, you speak to her. And I just got right up, stopped my congregation, went right to her, right in the middle of that big waiting room there for the intensive care unit. And I said, I noticed you're very disturbed. And she said, yes, sir, I am. So I'm a pastor. I said, can I do anything with you for you? And she started crying. She said, I just got bad news. My mother is dying. There's nothing they can do for her. They opened her up and sewed her back up. She's dying. She was there by herself. And I had prayer for her. Now, I think I understand a little bit what Jesus felt here, because He saw this woman's need. And there was an automatic movement. It's got to be for me the Holy Spirit of God, though it was the love that Christ had in His heart for this dear lady. And He walks over to where she's at, and He sees her weeping, and as He responds to her, and suddenly this voice that could steal the storm and cast out the demons and heal the sick and raise the dead, suddenly this voice spoke to this woman that crying very softly. Weep not. I wonder what she thought. What do you mean, weep not? I've had a son to die, my only son. We don't know what had happened to her husband. She was a widow. Jesus goes to the fire, which was a violation of rabbinic law at that time, because to touch anything that's dead, you have to go through a clarification process before you can do anything else by the Jewish law at that time. And he walks over to the bier and he says, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And here the author of life has confronted death, and he's won. I'm talking about one who's able to do beyond anything we could think, imagine. And verse 15 says that he delivered her son to her. That is, he gave her son back to her. And Jesus Christ is restoration. And when we die in Christ, we belong to Jesus Christ. By the way, if you're saved, you already belong to Him. And I'm saying to you, here's the chance, here's the time when we see God giving her son back to Him because of who He was and the power that He had. He restores life, which gives Him the power to give back. What a reunion day when you and I get on the other side and God gives us back our loved ones who have died in Christ. But there's so much we don't know. So much we don't know. So all of us have a great urgent need. And Jesus has met that need, number three. But we need to have more than just words, though they're good until we can get to see things better, especially from God's Word. Because knowledge removes fear. The more we can learn about something, the better off we are. And I think about life. When you think about life coming into existence, and we think about death, we can analyze this body. We can talk about what happens when a person dies, biologically, clinical, or otherwise. Biochemistry is the study of the chemistry of life. Here we understand a lot about the cells, that there's much more than we do, but there's much more we don't understand. We can take cells and analyze them and do all these things with them, and yet we know they're very complex. We know that they're a model of order and design. We can analyze them, but you can't explain the life. We can tie our cell all to pieces, but you still can't explain the life behind it. No man has ever been able to do that as of yet, won't be able to do it until God reveals it to us in the way that He would have us reveal. We know that we're alive and well. You can't understand why you're in that body moving around like you are right now. You can do a lot of things from a scientific standpoint and analyze it. God gives that ability more so than ever before. But nowhere will they explain your life. When you leave, that body's going back to the dust, just like God said it would. And they find out there'd be more elements of the dust in it than there would be anything else as He gives it to us. We know that our cells obey a definite set of instructions. It passes the copy of these instructions to each new cell. We know that the cell is chemically made of what it's made of, but we do not know what makes a cell alive. What gives it that life? Only God could have designed the genetic code and planned its function so that genes could do their work the way they do it, as well as they do it. Only God could bring something like this into existence. In physical death, to separation from the body, we understand that. The world may not. They just see the body dying and say, that's it. It goes back to the dust. We can analyze why it's here. There's a lot of things we can do. We can replace organs and other things. God gives that ability. And they think because we're able to do what we can do today, maybe we get a man to live 120 years a little bit later, and then later 150, as I heard a person talk not too long ago. God may allow, if Lord don't come back to the church, God's going to allow man to do a lot of things. But I want to tell you, the wages of sin is still death. God said that. You can't change. You may extend his life a little longer. God may allow that, but the wages of sin is death. That's law. Until Jesus Christ comes back and sin's dealt with, man's going to die. Death is not a cessation of life, yet it brings fear because we do not know much about it. We come to the wall of death and there's beyond. Yes, through eyes of faith, we look into that world and believe what God has to say. But there's a lot we just don't know. And I can say that because for 49 years studying this book, I still realize how little I know about what happens beyond death. It's all by faith, trust in Jesus Christ. Well, bless God, I believe it's so. I do too, but that don't ease my fear. Well, death don't scare me. Then I say next time you get sick, don't go to the doctor. Just stay home. Don't take any medicine of any kind. See how fickle we are, folks? I want to know more than that. I'm thanking God these last years of my life. He's flooding my heart with stuff. I don't know if I'll live to get all of it out or not. But it amazes me how God lets us see things as you grow in grace and knowledge with Him. It amazes me. And so death is not yet, it is not a cessation of life, but it does bring a type of fear. So let's compare now, and as I started out with just for a minute or two, let's compare death that we cannot grasp with something that we can grasp as we study life and as we study the cause of death. We have an urgent need because death is before us. Jesus met that urgent need, and knowledge can help us remove the fear. Now I want you to let's look at physical death and physical birth. And I believe it all in my heart. If I look at this, and Jesus used these things, pictures and so forth, if I can analyze it, it'll help me understand a little bit more about what's happening when I leave this world. In physical birth, normal birth occurs after a period of gestation about 270 to 280 days. A baby is born by what they call the physiological process called labor. Ever lady in here who's had a child understands what that word is. It ain't taking a hoe and hoeing a garden either. Amen. In fact, it's worse than that, isn't it, ladies? You'd rather hoe a garden than that at the moment, but then afterwards you forget it. That's what the Lord said. A time will come when contraction of the uterus forces the baby through what is called the birth canal. This can take up to 18 hours or more the first child. It could take less the second and third child, maybe be a little less. These are things we know about physical birth. These are things that you didn't know when you was in the womb. These are things you find out after the process of being separated from the mother. By law, the process of birth is not considered complete until the infant is entirely separated from the mother. Did you know a birth, my understanding that a child can come into this world and you can hold him in your hands, but if the cord is not cut, it's still not complete. A child is complete when it's completely separated from its mother. Am I talking to a bunch of people who don't know that today? What I'm showing to you, only to after it's separated, is it considered to be a complete birth. Now, the law may recognize an unborn child's inheritance, yet it does not take effect until the child is completely born, completely separated from its mother. Now, let's go back on an imaginary trip. Suppose you and I could go back and talk to a baby before it's born. You go back into the mother's womb and ask the baby what he thinks about birth before he's born into this world. Boy, I'll tell you what, I just like the flu in the room when I got this the other morning. It just blessed my heart, opened a whole new thing. The fact it doesn't give me in detail, but it gives me a shadow of something to look forward to when I leave this world. In the mother's womb, go back to the baby and began to talk to him about this world and asked him how he'd like to leave that environment and come into this world and try to tell him how beautiful this world is, what a big place this world is. He don't know nothing but the confines of his mother's womb. His only knowledge, if anything at all, is about that. And I use what Nicodemus asked Jesus in John 3, and I think the comparison is just the same. He's taking a picture of something I can understand and looking at something that I'm grasping about death that God has shown me something that I'll see one day that's more beautiful than I can see now. You asked that little child. And he said, I don't know, sir. I feel fine right here. I fed out here. I'm taken care of right here. I play right here. I kick mother once in a while right here. I mean, I'm safe right here. I just don't want to change. This is great. I don't know anything about that world out there you're talking about. Here I'm in a fluid out there. You're talking about air. I don't know what air is. I don't know if I can take air or not. I'm living here real fast. I'm talking about if you could really concentrate and talk now. This is a wonderful place. Here I am. And after all, you know what? I've heard that there's a long, dark canal called the birth canal got to go through. And I want to be honest with you, I'm a lot bigger than that thing. I just don't see how it can happen. But let me tell you,
about that world. But I don't see how this can happen, really. I don't see how I can go through that. I'm afraid of what I do to not know. That birth canal is smaller than I am. But wait a minute. There comes a time, call, appointment to be birthed. And suddenly the day of separation comes. And labor sets in. And the child has been forced into something that he resists. It's got to happen or the child and the mother both will die. There is an appointment of time of birth. And he resists. And he begins to say no. And he's forced out of the mother and the baby, if not, will die. He or she comes out birth. And the first amount of air that he breathes, he starts screaming and crying. And then suddenly, there's mother. And there's dad. And there's grandpa. And there's grandmothers and a whole bunch of other people in the room you don't know. And it's just something. They're taking care of me. They're wiping me. They're taking care of me. Oh, my. This is nothing like I thought. You couldn't explain it enough to tell me where I was at, what it would be like in this world. Once the separation takes place from the mother's womb, suddenly all of these loved ones who have already taken the trip are there. And they comfort and they love. And the little child would say, "My, this is better than where I was at." The same with death. Fear. We don't know about what we need to know except what God has said. And we believe that by faith, but it don't remove a lot of anxiety of the body. The Bible says, "Ask for the body to be present with the Lord." But that's words. It's not experiences yet. And we can believe God at that. True. That comforts us when we're trying to look at what we don't understand. Death is an appointment due to sin. Death is a separation of the body from the soul and spirit. It's born in a man wants to die. God's Word tells us that. And yet we hear it, we hear it, we hear it, and then the time comes to die. And the thing about it is, when you don't even know it's happened, this body will still try to live. It'll grasp for breath the last, till God says it's time not to do it. We come out from this world fighting it, using medicine and technology and science and resist it to prolong it. Why? We fear it. We adjusted here. We can't grasp everything that's there because we've not gone through the experience of death as of yet. But it's appointed time. Then one day, that appointment comes. We didn't ask for it. God said it for us. Then we separate from this life. Then we separate from this body. When? At the appointment, like God said it would be. And then, when the separation takes place, suddenly I've gone through that black hole that know nothing of death. Where God has already told me the sting's been removed, but you've got to experience it to feel that. You've got to trust it beforehand. Victory in the grave, but you've got to experience it to know it's true, even though by faith you know it's true, but you experience it, the reality is there, it's no longer faith. When separation takes place, you draw the last heartbeat, the last breath comes from this body, then suddenly we go through the channel of death, which we fear, and there's Jesus, and there's the Heavenly Father, and there's mother and dad who died in Christ. And there's brother and sister who died in Christ. There's a little child that you lost early in life. Here they all there. Here they've gone through that already before us, who's already made the trip. And they're waiting for us on the other side. And when we get there, we say, "Hey, this is much better than where I came from. Don't pray for me to go back to that mess." A little baby would say, "Don't pray me to go back in that fluid in a womb, handicapped." And we say in that day, don't pray for me to go back to that mess, because in that world I was handicapped too. Even though I had a good body, this is better than where we were at the baby's trip is through the birth canal. The Christian trip is through death or the rapture, which one comes first. Both are separation from one place to a better place. This helps me to deal with death. Today I know a little about heaven through faith. I believe everything that God says about it. I'll have to read about it. Many times read it when I need to be encouraged. I know nothing about physical life before I was born here. Now I see the reality of it. I read the same stuff that people write about it. If I've got any ability to learn it all, I can learn what they learned to write it, and I can learn from them as they wrote it. And I understand a lot about physical life. But when I look at this, and I know nothing about physical life here, before I was born here, now I see the reality of it. And yet, at the same time, I know nothing about life after death except through the Bible. There, I'm going to see it plainly and personally. Yeah, preacher, you're bragging. No, I'm giving Christ all the glory. Amen. Because without Him, you will not go to be with the Lord. When Paul said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, means that in Jesus Christ is the only way of eternal life. So if you're saved, you keep in mind, and you think about, as a babe, what would have been said if you'd been taught about this world. And you could have responded. You say, well, preacher, I'm a little bit different. The baby can't learn. Well, be surprised what they can learn. Tell me nowadays. They laugh in there. Something makes them fun, makes it funny. They may hear you tell them something, laugh. You don't know. They hear voices, they tell me, on the outside. Sister Gay tells me that one of her children was born, heard me before they were ever born. In fact, they knew my voice before they were ever born. If I remember that correctly. Amen. Almost leaked in the womb when I come around. No, what I'm saying, though, is this. We learn. And now I'm saying to you, that pattern, nothing wrong. Jesus used a lot of things in this life so we can understand spiritual truth. Because, you know, we're ignorant spiritually until it's revealed to us. And we can't see it all. And that day, when I get through the channel of death and look back, then I'm going to say, man alive, it's nothing like I even thought it would be. And I look through eyes of faith. And just as sure as I understand where I'm at now compared to where I was at before I was born, this life is many times better than that. I got news for you. That life is many times better than this life. Hey, the other night we were looking about creation. I fully believe that if space goes on forever, and it does, then you and I in eternal life will have space at our disposal. We will be forever exploring things that will be a blessing every minute of our lives. We may be, who knows? I'm speculating. Amen. I'm speculating. I can speculate on things. It's better than speculating on oil. Amen. I can speculate on things of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I really believe that God is so great that one day we may have assignments in some places just because God knows it would bless us to go see what He's done. I'm talking about death. It's an urgent need upon us all. Jesus met that need. And knowledge removes fear. And God uses analysis and things in this life for us to understand spiritual truth. So when we think about death, still unknown, still fear there, but keep in mind, when you go through it, the world there is much better than when you were born physically into this world. You know this world is much better than a child in a mother's womb because it's so vast. Well, that world is much bigger, vaster than this. If you're not saved today, I beg of you, don't leave this place without trusting Christ. Because the only way you enter into this place in the presence of God is through the Lamb of God. And that's Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. My Father, I thank You, Lord. I bless You for helping me study this. I bless You, Lord, for the blessed peace and joy I felt as I was studying this subject and end up looking at what Jesus said to Nicodemus about birth and began to understand that so much that a child doesn't know, even though they have words, but once they experience it, they say, hey, that's much better here than there.
Dear Father, the day will come, we'll all draw our last breath unless the rapture takes place. And we will enter through that channel of death and step into that other dimension where God Himself is at. Once that's done, all any trace of fear will be gone. It'll be removed, sorrow, trouble. And we'll look back and we'll say, man, this is so much greater than where I was at. And then forever, forever and ever live with our God, with the life that He Himself has imparted to us, which is His own life, to live forever. Lord, we have such a wonderful truth to give to this world, and yet they laugh at it, they mock it, they tear it up, spit it out, put us down, get laws passed that you can't even talk about the name of Jesus anywhere now. Lord, who'd ever thought a few years ago that you couldn't go any place around Creighton, knock on the door and talk to them about the Lord? Now they got all kinds of rules and ordinances where you can't go. Most big building, the complex of buildings and places of houses been built have rules now. They lock you up if you go out there trying to knock on the door. Lord, we live in an evil world. But we have a message that we believe that God has imparted our heart. And like I said before, when Jesus met this family out of the city of Nain, He was moved to their cause. Lord, we'll move sometimes. We can't explain it. We just know it. We feel. We are directed. And we just know we need to do certain things at times. And we know it's God. Would you help someone today, if not here in this audience or in the other churches going on this time, Father, by the way, radio, help someone today to see their need that Christ offers. He's met everything that God required so we might be called children of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.